All right, I will call us to order for our budget work session with Community Service. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the budget you've submitted. Before we went on the record, I was saying that this brings home for me how reliant we are on our friends down in Des Moines and how frustrating that can be at times as we try to do our due diligence and plan ahead. I have no other solution other than work ahead with the best information that we have right now, even though that feels like standing on shifting sand as it changes hour by hour. But that's where I'm going to ask us to go specifically with the mental health portion of this conversation. But let's start on page 56 and work our way through the general fund parts of it. And my only question that I had on the revenues, talk us through where you are at this point this year and why that's not going to a true reflection of what it's going to look like next year.
Right now, we did have SSI interim reimbursements, and so that's why our revenue is up a little bit for the current fiscal year. I think we had estimated $6,000, and we're at the $7,567.
Right.
So we don't have anybody else on the SSI interim program, so I don't know where, you know, if we'll get anything more. It just depends if we put somebody else on that program, if their case goes, you know, gets through the decision process.
But there's nobody else in the pipeline right now.
No, not right now.
Okay. Yeah, that revenue source is totally dependent on whether or not we're having somebody utilize the SSI interim program. And just, I guess, for the record and for the purposes of public members, SSI interim is a program where somebody has applied for SSI benefits through Social Security and they've been denied, which is very common for the first application. And so they're going through the appeal stages, which can take a year or more at least. And so then during that time, we submit some forms to Social Security and we can assist that individual with rent or utilities. And then if their decision, SSI decision, is favorable, then we are reimbursed for part or all of what we assisted them with during their appeal process.
Anything else on revenues you guys have? All right, moving to expenses, I'm on page 58. Top line, at first blush, I don't understand the increase from 40 to 60.
And that is my calculations. I didn't even talk to Deb about this.
Yep.
Deb and I have talked regularly in the last year about Kathy Johnson's salary and how it should be 50-50, and that's how she thought she had presented it last year. So I went ahead and put 50-50 for Kathy Johnson. Have that discussion. If you want to do it, fine. If we don't, we can reverse it out.
I think that accurately reflects her
responsibility. So in this line, in the FY13 budget year we're in now,
right,
is 25% of Deb's salary and 50% of Carla's salary. So
okay.
The two sitting in front of you are being paid out of Community Services budget.
Okay.
Next year, Deb would like to move Kathy Johnson to 50-50. So 50% of her salary also comes out of this, as opposed to 100% mental health.
Okay.
And the reason behind that, and I want to throw Nikki Lulman into the conversation as well, because she's the service coordinator that we hired in November when we did a little bit of internal reorganizing with Linda Simler retiring and Carla taking on Linda's duties. Both Kathy and Nikki do the bulk of our general assistance. So they're the ones meeting the clients and interviewing the clients. When they come through the door, we just have a walk-in policy. We don't have a scheduling policy for the clients. So I didn't know if Nikki could be considered as part 50% in the general fund, too, since she's doing the same things that Kathy is doing. And if we want to wait and give that more time, since she just started in November, we can do that, too. I'm flexible.
They have the general assistance responsibilities. You know, if it's 50-50, I mean, I don't think you can look at what they're doing and break it out half and half. I mean, but it look, to me, it looks like half of the service coordinator position is assigned to
from the job description.
General assistants. And I don't know why I thought it was like that already. Did we used to have it like that? Has Kathy Johnson ever had a portion of her salary?
Used to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I guess I don't go in and look at payroll and see exactly what positions are and how they're split out, but I thought Kathy was already partially coming out of the general.
And that's why I knew that Deb and I had the discussion, and she wanted it that way for Kathy. Nicole, I was not aware of. So, I mean, if that's what we need to do, that's what we need to do. How many, because that brings us to, flex is my problem, because I can't split flex out. I can't just, it won't run. So I don't know how many people should we be paying. I've got two here to be paid out of flex, or out of this budget for flex. And that's probably where I'd stay, even if you put 50% of somebody else in there. That's really 1.5 people when it's all said and done, or 1.75, so. So I will move 50, and I'll just start that next year if that's okay with you.
Now, all of your office assistants are paid out of mental health, correct? Or administrative,
yes.
Okay.
Administrative.
Even though they do the administrative assistant work for general assistants, but we have them all paid out.
Right, and in fact, Janice McConnell's salary is all included in our case management cost report, so we get reimbursed for that. And then there's a portion of Melanie Worley's that's in the cost report as well that we get reimbursed for through the Medicaid program. Mm-hmm.
So basically the increase would be factoring in Kathy's?
Right now it just includes 50% of Kathy's. From this conversation, next year's is also going to include 50% of Nicole's.
But it's a net zero change in terms of the ultimate bottom line. The problem is it stresses even further an already stressed general fund.
General fund, exactly. So if you make that decision, understand that's how you're gonna. That's what.
Well, yeah.
Happen.
I mean, 2 years ago, it made no sense to make that decision because anything we could justify in mental health, we needed in mental health because it was reasonable to see dollars coming in. Now the problem is you're robbing from Peter to pay Paul. Either way you go. So to me, the most appropriate way to do it is wherever they belong, we put them and we figure it out. But there needs to be heavy recognition that we're stretching that general basic as far as it'll go and maybe even beyond where it can go. And so we got to be really, really careful and really sharp with the pencil as we go through the rest of this thing. Even though it's a net zero all set or should be a net zero at the ultimate bottom line.
Yeah, ultimate bottom line. But we know that the general fund and the mental health fund are the two funds that are
stressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you able to bill any of the service coordinator?
To Medicaid? They would have to be doing duties related to
the
case management program. Currently not, no. I mean, they might initially start working with a client and then pass them off to case management, and then at that point it's case management going.
But I would just ask, I tried to jot down on my sheet here kind of little notes to refer to and so forth, but if you would mind, Lisa, at some point, just send us a little short memo or something that kind of outlines what you've done, and I can kind of attach this here so that as we're going through this following year and thereabouts.
Salaries?
Yeah, right. Just because it is basically, we're looking at it, it's a slight differential in terms of how it's being done, but I certainly agree with what it's done. I'm just wanting to have a hands-on place that I could go back to it and refresh my memory that this is what we did and why we did it, you know, type thing. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. So, yeah, as we go further down, and my apologies before I start this, but I feel a heavy need to go after the nickels now the rest of the way. And so I start with office supplies, and I say, I look at where you are this year. I look at where you've been in the past. Let's take that one to 200 and save $50 there. I drop down to education and training, and I believe that there's some there that we can pull back out, be it – 300 or 250, even though it's only 50 and 100 bucks. I mean, we're that close. So you guys tell me. I don't want to take away training that you really need to do, but it doesn't look to me like. I mean, you're $109 here halfway through the year.
Part of the anticipation. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Part of the anticipation is whether or not there will be general assistance training through the ISAC affiliate that we work with, because we used to have at least every other year some kind of a general assistance retreat where all the general assistance directors around the state would come together for training, and we haven't had that for several years. There was talk about doing that yet this fiscal year, but we haven't heard anything, and we're kind of running out of time. And I know they try to capture as much training as possible during the ISAC schools of instruction when most people are attending those. But so that's why we were keeping it kind of on an even keel, just in case one of those would pop up. We're just not sure. But I mean, if we can drop it or lower,
yeah. Just let's lower it to 300.
300.
Just a minimal lowering, but a lowering nonetheless. And then medical care and hospital care, to me, those look like just placeholders.
They are, and I want to bring into the conversation at this point the potential of expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Health Care Act. Iowa is a state right now who's kind of on the fence as to whether or not they'll become a Medicaid expansion state. If they do, then individuals who are currently receiving medical services through Iowa Cares, which is the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics medical program, most of them would then be eligible for the Medicaid expansion and have Medicaid coverage then for their medical services. And Carl and I talked about this too when we were looking at the budget. No, we just haven't had anybody on time. I think part of what's helped that in the past year is people who are on Iowa Cares can now go to Broadlands for their medical care. They don't have to travel all the way to Iowa City. So, and HRDA has been gracious enough to provide that transportation. So I think that that's kind of filled in that void as well. So placeholder would be a description for the figures that are on the budget sheet.
Yeah, and am I correct? We're going to do what we need to do in this line item all said and done.
Right, right.
So it really what's in there is kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. If we need to have a conversation one spring and you come back and you say, we went years without anybody, all of a sudden now we've got a bunch and this is what it's doing to our budget and then we've got to make a decision, we'll do it. So I would suggest let's just make them both $100 placeholders, knowing that we're going to do what we need to do.
That's under fourth from the bottom.
Well, a fourth from the bottom. I'm suggesting we leave it at 100. That's a nice placeholder. And then hospital care, which is 1,000 right now, I'm suggesting taking that to 100 as a placeholder.
Okay.
Same thing on food and provisions. Just leave that at 100 as a placeholder.
Yeah.
And then rent. I'm sorry.
Medicines. That's right underneath.
Talk about it. You're at 29. If you look at 85, go previous history. But you've only had 1 year where you were at the 311 in 2010.
Well, let's take that one to 100 as well, and then between those line items, if you have something come up in medicines, it looks to me like the odds are we're going to be able to cover it between that group, unless we just have a bunch come forward, in which case we need to have a conversation about doing an amendment. Okay. Rent payments. I appreciate that you got it down over what we originally budgeted last year, but it's up from what we expect to spend this year. Let's just talk through
about that. Okay.
Well, Carla generated a nice report yesterday, and we've been seeing this since the beginning of the fiscal year. Our numbers for rent and utilities are almost about the same as they were in fiscal year 08. So down quite a ways. We're averaging seven single household individuals a month and 10 families a month, where last year we were at 13 and 10 we were at 12. In fiscal year 08, we were at 8. So, and we're not sure what may be driving that. I know the unemployment rate in Story County is back down to about where it was prior to the recession, but and the other agencies that we work with that also provide rent and utility assistance, they're pretty much on just a one-time-a-year assistance basis, where we can be twice a year depending on that person's situation. So, but going through the asset process where we have two of those agencies requesting funds, you know, they sit there and say they still see, you know, a number of people coming in. So we're not exactly sure what's driving our numbers to go down, and have been surprised about that as well.
Our referrals to other agencies are down also. So that tells me we're seeing less people. We're not referring more people on. We're actually having just less people coming through the door.
Is there a wiggle room there?
That with the acknowledgement that, you know, if something starts to pop back up for
sure.
us, that we come
yeah.
back and address
yeah.
the board with...
You always have that. I want
always.
You to feel completely comfortable yeah. that we're putting together a budget here, that we're trying really hard to do actuals. Okay, whatever we today think it's going to be, and then if we find out that there something's happening that we did not project... then that's what I believe the three of us are supposed to do for the county, on not just sit here and create the budget, but to respond when something happens that we don't expect. And so I want you to feel comfortable that we say, okay, we truly believe, looking at the way it's going, we can't explain why it is, but we truly believe, based on what we're seeing, that it's going to be a $75,000 bill next year. Let's plug in the $75,000, and then if it's different than that, you just keep us informed and let us know when we need to take action. Lisa loves doing budget amendments.
Fair with that.
So, what would it be?
You know,
caveat?
I'm a little concerned at the 72 that I projected right now. I know this month we're at like 6,000 with this next pay date coming up. So I like 75. I think that we can go with that. And
once going twice, 75 is it?
Yep.
Good.
For that re-estimate, I'd like to put that at 75 also.
Yep. And 8,500 looked pretty strong to me. I mean, is there room, as you look at it, to take a couple hundred dollars off of that, or does that need to stay at 85 for utilities?
Oh, for utilities.
Yep.
I think it could come down, you know, maybe to 8 even. We're not getting the utility requests right now either, so.
Well, let's take it to 8 even.
Where we could see a little bit of a jump in the request would be after April, when the LIHEAP moratorium
sure.
ends. And,
sure.
When you said take it to 80, you mean 8,000?
8,000.
Okay.
Take it to 8,000.
Re-estimation, what about that one? Leave it there?
I lowered it to 8,000 also, just for my pencil pushing.
Yeah.
Funeral services, you're suggesting a slight increase. Again, this one is one of those that it kind of is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, we've factored into a 2% increase to the reimbursement to the funeral.
That goes up every year, doesn't it? Doesn't
we, we did it
the last 2 years.
Last 2 years,
last
we did.
2 years. Then causes grief, according to Brett, because community services pays more than Veterans Affairs in their reimbursement.
Yeah.
Can I talk about
requested.
It?
Probably should. I mean, I thought the agreement
well,
was...
Well, we should be consistent.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the agreement was what the county... This is what the county was going to pay for funeral services.
Period. He's aware that we've yes. built...
I talked to him in December about what we were going to do.
I don't think his commission was... as favorable as.
Yeah. We can have that conversation again with him regarding that.
Well, and the reason for doing some incremental increases so that we don't go 10 years without any increase and then.
Right.
That's what happened a couple years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, they're telling me all the time that this doesn't even come close to covering costs.
Correct.
So they are concerned about it. So, yeah.
Management services, is there a couple hundred we can pull out of that one? I mean, it looks...
We haven't hit the 1,300.
Right. It looks to me like we could get down to 1,200 with no problem, and you could make a pretty strong case probably to get down to 1,100 or 1,000. But I'd just like to take something.
I'm okay with 1,100.
Okay. Rest of it didn't look to me like there was a whole lot of room.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, we went the wrong way on that one.
All told, we did. Go back to the middle of medical care, hospital care, medicines. I'm showing that you took 900 out of hospital care.
Yep.
100 out of medicines.
Yep.
And what else?
Did not take anything else out of those. Out of the medical care and the food and provisions, we left them both at 100.
Well, okay, that's right.
So there's four. As I look at that one, there's 400 total in those four columns, which, based on the way things have been going, $400 should be able to cover a normal year anywhere it goes in those. And then if something happens that we don't expect, we're going to have a discussion.
Okay.
What did you do with the salaries, Lisa? Did you
just
leave it with one service coordinator half, or did you put the two?
I put a note to myself to move half Nicole Lullman, too. So I've got Kathy Johnson. So I've got another full salary in there, basically.
But that will also, the next part of our conversation, that's going to reflect on that, right? As we turn the page and go to mental health.
Yeah, it's going to reduce.
Right. And
yeah.
So just be sure you point that out so that we're all aware of.
And we'll have to double check. Nicole's just a little bit under. She was one of them that we did figure in under the compensation. Yeah. We had hired her a little bit low.
And as we move into mental health, and we can add to the conversation about the general fund and the case management program and some possibilities there that could help generate some revenue.
Okay. Well, let's move toward that.
Page
62, which we'll be flipping between, 62 and 63 are the revenue side of things. And then it gets a little more complex as we go to the expense side.
I tried my best, and this is, Carla and I are... Carl and I will make this pretty, but it just isn't pretty ever because it's much more
it is
complicated than everybody else's.
Well, and then we've got the added complexity of, as I read this, a lot of that I read in this, while it's completely different services, it is in some way related to some of the things CLP is doing and how we're funding CLP. And if we're making changes, that also it can impact what we're doing in CLP. But, yeah, we're having that conversation this afternoon. So it makes it a little disjointed for me, but I can't think of a better way to do it. So where is equalization reflected in revenues?
It would be in Department 99.
Okay.
Is where it will be reflected in revenues, not in this revenue.
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
I do have one question on this because I'm not clear on the $440,000.
Oh, yeah.
This whole year, when I've been reestimating and giving you guys updates on mental health funds and where they're at, I've been assuming we're getting that because I thought that's what you guys had told me. And then when your budget got presented, it wasn't there. And I'm like, where is this?
Yes, there are definitely some changes with our revenue starting this year and moving forward. We no longer receive the community services fund allocation, allowed growth. Property tax relief, which would be reflected in Department 99. So those revenue sources are gone. Regarding the social services block grant, that has historically been a separate allocation made to counties. It's federal dollars that flow through the state of Iowa. And $440,000 has traditionally been about what we have received each year. Then in addition to that, the state payment program funding That's for state cases that we manage the expenses for, and we pay up front, and then we get reimbursed by the state for that. Well, starting July 1st of 12, the state decided they're no longer going to have a separate state payment program revenue item. They're going to use the social services block grant money to reimburse us. So we lost another revenue in essence, because the amount that we're going to get reimbursed through a state payment program is not the same amount that we would get normally under the social services block grant. So they internally, DHS has switched their source of funding for the SPP program. They're no longer using state general funds. They're using the funds that they get from the federal government through a social services block grant funding.
Okay. Let's start with FY13. It seems to me that based on this conversation, Lisa, we just added $440,000 to our problem for FY13.
Not really.
Okay.
Well, not really, because if you'll notice, my reestimated budget is zero.
Zero, right.
Right.
In here, I've reestimated it at zero. So all the numbers I gave you originally, you know, a couple weeks ago when I said the 440 was not included.
Okay.
Right.
Yes and no.
Right.
Our current year, whenever I give you guys an update, I've been figuring on that 440, well, because that was my understanding.
Well, the explanation basically covers
to start this
blanks that are currently in here right now. Yeah.
Absolutely. But what I'm concerned about is, okay, where did that go to zero? Because all the way through, we've been talking about where we were coming out. Holding state bills, we're using round figures, but as I recall, we were holding state bills at about $1.4 million. If we hold those state bills, we're projecting that we're going to end up with a $900,000 roughly ending fund balance in mental health. So we're negative six or seven. I mean, I'm not taking the math away. Negative six or seven before there's any transition funds at all. I want to know where this 440 fits into that calculation.
That calculation? It has to get subtracted off that calculation. But my numbers for reestimating everything that I gave you guys, and I said, okay, we're going to end the year at a $770,000 ending fund balance.
Right.
Does not include that. So technically, if you want to say where we're ending this current year.
Yeah, that's what I want
to know. The reestimations that I've
based on what we're doing right now. And I just round figures, because I just want to understand.
I'm going to take the away the, so I'm at negative 718 if we pay the state bills.
Okay, which is still where we thought we were, because we thought if the state came through with $700,000 in transition funds, that would get us to zero as we look at going to the regionalization, which isn't enough. I mean, how do we function at that? But as long as I was afraid that you were now telling me we were, you know, it was 1.1 in order to get to zero. Okay.
And the state they switched their sources.
Okay.
And said, well, we're going to use this federal. And that's of concern to us in the fact that that's federal dollars. You know, not going to get cut. We don't know. Whatever goes on at the federal level is going to float down to us.
Right.
Chances are there is going to be some reductions.
We're at 159 so far this year, which is ahead of the 240 that we're projecting for this year. I'm still on FY13.
Looking at the state payment program.
Yep, state payment program. We're at 159 to date. Obviously, the others are zeroed out. So is 240 still a reasonable estimation, or is that fairly consistent what's coming in?
Third from the bottom.
I know, like, what I just billed is like $11,000, and so next month I anticipate it's going to be a little bit more because we've paid some additional things. So, honestly, I don't know. I don't have a strong history, I guess, to know for sure what's going to happen with that.
Well, it's a new system. I mean, it'd be hard for us to have a great history on that, but somehow you got to the 408, 280.
That figure is what the state gave us.
Okay.
Fiscal year 14 going forward.
All right.
I show you brought in December 55.5 in that line item.
And that included...
That high, is that low? What is that?
That's high. That included some rebilling
retroactive
that we did.
Payment.
So approximately
How much a month?
Yeah, so you said you just did 11.
Yep, I just did 11.
So between those two, that's $70,000 for 2 months. That's $35,000 a month. Is it reasonable to take 2 months and say, yeah, that's getting us closer to the average? Was that a high and a low? Or
I think probably so.
So it's not seasonal, in other words. There's no time of year.
We had a retroactive payment. That's what bumped up.
So what I'm asking is it reasonable for us to say, okay, under this new system, it looks to us like we're averaging $30,000 a month in billables, and that would be $360,000 that we can reestimate this thing to for FY13. But I'm just taking the 2 months that you just
yeah, gave. I know. Safely, I feel like I could say 15 to 20 maybe, but...
Well, 20 is the 240 that we already have budgeted.
I believe it.
Okay. All right. And the 408 came straight from the state, so
that's what they said to use.
I still think we should reestimate the 240 up a little bit. I really do. I mean, last year was 377, and I know they changed the way they do it, but...
Well, this 159 does not include January, right? So this 159 right, is right. Six months.
6 months. 6 months.
6 months.
Right.
Yep. You double that and it's 318. I think you could safely say 275, can't you, for total revenue for the year?
I know what we rebuild, that was probably like 30-some thousand, you know. So, and that's just a one-time thing.
Right.
So, you know, if we figure, you know, 20 from here on out.
20,000 a month.
Yeah.
Per month, yeah.
That'd be another 120,000.
Which gets us to the 275. Yeah, let's put it in there at 275 for our reestimation. But that does not impact the 408 for next year.
No.
That's all I had on revenues.
Oh.
You might have anything else?
I appreciated the discussion because, you know, when you saw the blanks,
oh, yeah.
It's helpful to recognize.
All right, you know, now the complexity begins. We're on page 64, but you're also going to have to go back and forth to 66 because that's where we get the detail in every one of these.
Right.
And with all apologies, will you guys just kind of walk us through? And I'd rather go through on page 66 with the detail. Let's just walk through it. And start. So we're starting with consultation.
All right. First of all, the sections are broken into diagnostic groups. We have the first one is for persons with mental illness. The second grouping will be persons with chronic mental illness, and then we'll have persons with intellectual disabilities, and then last it'll be persons with developmental disabilities, which is a smaller group of people that we serve.
Okay.
So first line item there is consultation. So any time that's spent with a mental health professional on working with a client and getting information from them on how best to work with a client, relatively small amount of about $300. That usually goes, payment goes to either a mental health center or a private practitioner. Transportation, that would be through HRDA. And the county, through the mental health budget, will fund transportation for individuals to get to medical appointments, mental health appointments, benefit appointments, or to the grocery store. It doesn't cover if they need to get to work. I guess I want to be clear on that. Support services.
This is what we cut this year, basically the legal aid, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I want to state at this point in time that services that we've cut the current fiscal year are back in this budget.
Okay.
But that's based on the expectation of equalization.
Right.
And so we need to make that clear as we do this budget. And if our expectation truly is that we're going to get equalization.
When you say equalization, are you talking to 47?
Yeah, going to 47.28, right. Between 1.1 and 1.2. Right.
Okay.
1.172.
With what the governor is saying, if there's truly nothing there next year, we're going to be right back in the same position that we were this year, where these things and more have to be pulled back out.
And yes. And as you know, the budget, the asset budget process is going on as well as we speak. We have the work sessions this week, and because of unknowns, but trying to at least get the input of the volunteers, a lot of what we did for mental health funding within the services that are within asset are placeholder amounts. Many of them are much lower than what the agencies had requested, but we wanted to get some placeholder amounts in there, knowing that those amounts could change up or down depending on what happens come July 1st. So that's how we've handled the asset portion for mental health services. So support services would be the dollars provided to legal aid to assist with Social Security appeals and other legal services. Rent utility payments, again, we had cut that for the current year. That would be, those are for individuals who do not qualify, who have a mental health or disability diagnosis, but they don't qualify for general assistance. Physiological treatment would be medications. We're doing something a little bit different, and we're piloting this the current year with Ireland Ball. They have a full-time staff person out of their Des Moines office who does nothing but sign people up for prescription assistance programs. And so we started purchasing that service from Ireland Ball because they know the medications. The staff person who is doing this, it can stay on top of those applications and getting the appropriate signatures. Most of the time, the pharmaceutical companies will provide those meds at a reduced or no cost to the client for at least a year, and then we have to re-up the application for the following year. So it's too early to see what kind of savings that is going to bring to the county, but I know in Polk County they have seen, you know, at least $30,000 or more in savings by having somebody stay on top of this and getting the right medication.
But our expectation is that we're going to at least see a huge portion of the $6,500 recouped in savings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so where will that savings, if any, come from?
Well, we won't be paying it out in medication. And take note that not all medications have a prescription assistance program. Many of the new medications do, and that can be a tremendous savings, but some of the older medications do not. But then a client may be able to get that medication if it's trazodone or Haldol or something, some older medication, they can get that for the $4 or $5 per refill at a local pharmacy. So a lot of times those are at the reduced cost of the pharmacy. But we're really trying to hit it hard to get our medication costs down, and I think this will help. Outpatient treatment is med management, therapy, nursing, and crisis services. And that, again, is primarily all through Ireland Ball, although we do have contracts with some private practitioners that see a small number of individuals each. Deleted the community support program line item because of no utilization. The evaluations, this would not be related to anybody in a commitment, but it'd be somebody who's going into the doctor or the therapist for the first time and they need to be evaluated before their course of treatment can be decided. So that's what those dollars are for. We are still mandated to pay mental health institution costs. So that's the next one here, the state MHI inpatients for their treatment. The next line item for public hospitals and inpatient services, this amount would cover both voluntary and involuntary hospital admissions. Most of our hospital admissions are involuntary, so they're commitment related and we have additional costs. The current year, though, we, as a cost savings measure, we are not funding voluntary hospitalizations. We're only funding the involuntary. The next one is just observation. If a client goes in through ER and Mary really doesn't, just wants to observe them, they don't feel that they're needing full admission to the psychiatric unit, then we'll pay for a 23-hour observation bed. Sheriff Transport, this is really a commitment. This would go to other counties who are transporting Story County clients to the nearest hospital. You probably heard a little bit about that through the Sheriff's Department, I'm sure. they travel all over the state, unfortunately. And then last one is legal representation that would go to the court-appointed attorneys during the client's commitment proceedings. So we're mandated to cover that as well. Questions or comments on that?
Basically, everything above here is pretty much all mandated services, with the exception of the ones that you have zeroed out.
The mandates would be the legal representation related to commitment, sheriff transportation, the evaluation at the inpatient at the hospital, and then MHI. Everything else is at our discretion. Yeah. But preventative.
How many are you serving in the MH, in just the mental, or in the mental illness? In this category, yeah. I mean, how many are you basing this on?
That would have included people that we were funding through ID waiver too.
Yeah, but a few years.
Yeah, I was just curious how many in each category you're seeing.
A few years ago, you gave us a sheet that kind of broke down all the mandated services and et cetera. Do you still have that available somewhere that...
On a cheat sheet of that? Yeah,
right.
We can pull that together.
Right.
We did try to note on...
I can see some of them that, like here, but... If I recall, it was two or three years ago, you know, there was a kind of a sheet and you had it down, and then we could really go right down the list and see, wow, all of these are the mandated services. And why that's helpful a little bit as we start to talk about regionalization and, you know, how everything is going to come together. Obviously, UCPCs know it, but we also have a lot of new supervisors that are coming on board in some of these areas, and being able to have the ability to explain that information to them just helps the learning curve, I think, sometimes.
That list has actually skinnied down significantly as of July 1st of 12,
okay.
Because we no longer have the mandate to cover the non-federal share for the resource centers, the other ICF ID providers like Chrysalis, habilitation services. That non-federal share for a lot of those services, the state took that over July 1st. Our primary mandate right now are commitments and MHIs.
Yeah, but see where I'm going is you have that background. You have that knowledge. If someone asked me that question, you see, I would sit there and wait a minute. Yeah.
That's for the time being. Right. You know, with Senate File 23 legislation, it moves into core services.
Right, right.
There's a long list of services that regions are going to have to
fund
and make
right.
sure access is available
right.
to.
Right.
So I can give you a short list
good.
For the
good.
Time being, but
yeah. right.
knowing that
yeah.
that
knowing
is going to be.
Yeah, that would be very helpful. Thank
all
you.
All right, so we're on to chronic mental illness, and a lot of this is the same services in a different category, so you can run through, you can breeze through those and then point out anything that we need to be aware of here.
And this was an area that had dropped significantly because we no longer have the non-federal share to pay for a lot of those services. So consultation, again, same as above. Transportation. We do have some individuals who are living in their homes and they get home health aid services that are not covered by Medicaid. Supported community living, which is people coming in and assisting with budgeting and cooking, those kinds of things in their living environments. Support services would be, the legal services through legal aid, rent and utility payments, people who might be either waiting for a Social Security appeal to go through or they're waiting for their name to come up on the Section 8 HUD list so they can get longer-term rent subsidies. Mm-hmm. Right, meds and the assistance that Utterly Ball is providing to help get people on prescription medication. Medicaid will pay for medications, but until a person is deemed disabled and can get on Medicaid, again, this is a stopgap measure, very preventative in nature.
So we're up to 16.5 in that line item now between the two. How much total are we paying for the prescription services?
Can you point, Rick, where we're...
Yeah, it's $10,000 in the chronic mental illness and $6,500 in mental illness.
Oh, okay, yep.
And I assume it's the same program, just in a different category.
Yeah. And one of the other things that we do, too, is if somebody moves into a residential care facility and they're not on Medicaid yet, and this is something we try to explain to the legislators to understand, if they're not on Medicaid yet, then the county's responsible for paying for their medications while they're in that setting. Now, in terms of CLP, CLP will cover that out of their budget for the folks that they serve. But if we've got somebody who's placed in another county and in another facility, then we're getting the bill to cover that. So that primarily happens in the CMI category because more people who are chronically mentally ill are in those facilities versus people who have just a mental illness.
Sure. My question was, what are we paying Ireland Ball? As I understand it, they have a full-time person who fills out the applications and helps get people where they need to be, and hopefully there's some savings realized because then the medical, the pharmaceutical companies will supply those a lot of times. I'm trying to understand what we're paying Ireland Ball for that service and what it's reasonable to expect that we're going to see on the back end from doing that.
Our contracted rate with Ireland Ball right now to provide that service is $40 per application.
Okay.
And but that cost will drop to about $28.
I think it's like 41.02, yeah. So it'll drop to 21.
Next fiscal year, that'll be a reduction for next fiscal year towards that particular program. Ireland Ball is supposed to be running us a report on a monthly basis as to who they have signed up for the medications and then what the savings will be. We've only gotten one report, and they had about two individuals on it. So I don't feel that that's the best information to use at this point in time. But that will be something I plan on sharing in my quarterly report with the board on, because I do think that is a very beneficial service, and I wanted to be able to share that information as well. The psychiatric treatment, the outpatient services, again, that would be for services that wouldn't be covered by Medicaid or until the person does become Medicaid eligible. So those are all outpatient services. Community support program helps individuals in their apartment and in the community and focuses on recovery. The evaluations, not related to commitment. Zeroed out the sheltered workshop because we don't have anybody utilizing those services. Work activity. These are individuals that are accessing the service, but it's not covered under Medicaid or they're not Medicaid eligible yet, but they're working in a sheltered setting. And maybe the provider isn't eligible under Medicaid to provide that service for Medicaid reimbursement, but I think we're going to be seeing some shifts in that come next fiscal year, because providers of especially RCF services and workshop services know that the wave of the future is they're going to have to be Medicaid covered. So they're making changes to do that. We have nothing in enclave services, about $11,000 in dayhab services that are not covered by Medicaid. We zeroed out the supported community living 1 to 5 bed. Our biggest line item in the chronically mentally ill part of the budget is the RCF.
Yep.
That is not community life. That would be facilities other than that we have people staying at around the state.
That's a combination of this line and the one that was 16 plus beds before that we've now zeroed out, and it looked to me like our 4-year average is right around $300,000. We're expecting $300,000 this year in our re-estimation. So why from 300 to 334?
I think there's anticipation of being rate increases. We're already getting letters from facilities in other counties about increasing rates.
And we think a 10% rate increase is what we're going to see?
There is the potential there that it could include clients that we're not aware of if their residency is going to fall back to Story County.
Yep. Because that residency change goes into effect July 1st, and we do have a person on our waiting list who's waiting for RCF placement. Mm-hmm. Okay, we zeroed out the RCFMI. We have one person who's living in the residential care facility for specifically for persons with mental illness, and that cost is about $2,761 a month. The next one, community-based settings, other is the transitional living program at Mary Greeley. And historically, we have been reserving two beds a month at TLP for our county utilization. And as another cost-cutting measure, we reduced that to one bed a month this fiscal year. And Mary, we're seeing the effects of that. We're trying to make sure that it is really used as a short-term setting for individuals, preferably 2 weeks at the most. But depending on the individual and trying to find placement, we had an individual there for a month, which then created the inability to move anybody else in that county bed. And we had people waiting in the hospital for that bed, and we just couldn't use it. And Mary Greeley is feeling the effects of that as well then, because then they're holding them in a acute setting, and the person no longer has to be in that acute setting. So we would really like to try and go back to two beds a month, because that does match up what our utilization is.
Yep.
Okay, we closed out the 16-plus beds. The next one would be mandated payment for treatments at MHI. And then the inpatient charges at a community hospital for voluntary and involuntary hospital admissions.
And then that one looks up just a little to me.
It does, yeah. But that would also reflect is what we have in here is a 2% rate increase for all providers. And this would also include, this $80,000 would also include hospitalizations that we're paying at other hospitals throughout the state. And when we're paying at those facilities, we have to use whatever rate
that county
has set with them. Mm-hmm. So we're anticipating an increase in those hospitalization per diem rates.
But that our four-year average doubled to this year. And now we're expecting it to go up another 10% next year. Just talk me through that one. How did it double from what our four-year average was? And, again, I feel like I'm standing on shifting sand.
Yeah.
A lot would determine with the number of clients that obviously would need that service at any given time,
sure.
Which is the unknown. But obviously, I still think that's a good question, and I don't know. Based on current utilization now and based on projection, you're saying that's what, I think that's what he's getting at.
I'm not sure what's dragging down that four-year average to that.
Can you guys just look at that and let me know where we are on that one? That one just popped out at me as it did. I couldn't make it make sense.
Okay, and then the next two items, sheriff transportation and legal representation, are related to commitment costs. So
yep.
We cover those as well.
All right, we're to our friend, the mental health advocate.
Healthcare, that is still a mandate for us.
Yep.
The judicial work group recommended to the governor and the legislature that there be a statewide advocate program created, and the advocates would then be moved out from under the county or regional purview into a administratively designated unit under the department, I think it's under the Department of Inspections and Appeals. So they would essentially come under the state would be responsible for the costs of the advocates. So we'll see where that goes this legislative session. But since we're trying to use the best information that we have at the time, we included those costs in our budget. So the first line item is what we pay out for the salary, and then we have 5 required to pay.
If it's okay with you, Deb, let's go ahead and skip down on this one.
Okay.
And I appreciate the work our mental health advocate does. It is interesting, to say the least.
Well, and I think that will be end up being a point of discussion, too, as we move into regionalization. I think that do we need advocates to cover 7 counties?
Right.
So I think that will be something that will be entering into discussions, and the regional board will
Mental health advocate is a part of the ISAC's policy review discussion. However, it's not one of the top 3 that is on the list, but it is going to be a topic that they're going to try to push and get some support through this year.
The next session has drastically been reduced, because for years one of our mandates were to pay for persons with mental retardation, and we had it's a larger population group for us, and so we were paying for the non-federal share. But what this section includes is the respite coordination that's done through the Arkansas County, and that this isn't something that is covered through Medicaid. It's a service we did cut this year, but we're hoping to make sure and be able to use it next year. The next is supported community living for hours of service that cannot be billed to Medicaid, and so we're providing funding for that, for supported community living. The next one would be through legal aid. Not so much, it helps with some SSI appeals, but the other thing that legal aid does, especially for people who have intellectual disabilities, is they have guardians, legal guardians appointed through the court, and there's annual reporting that has to be done, and so legal aid assists with that reporting to make sure it gets done and gets turned into the court. Excuse me. Rent payments, if a person needs assistance with rent, sheltered workshop that wouldn't be covered through the Medicaid program. Work activity services that wouldn't be covered through the Medicaid program, or the person isn't Medicaid eligible. The next one, VOC day services, other services. This would be the Arkansas County Special Recreation Program. And this is another service that we cut this current fiscal year. Both respite, the legal aid, and the special recreation programs were picked up through additional funding through United Way for the time being. So the service is still being offered. But a lot of participation by clients in special rec. It's very unique. They're about the only one who offers this type of programming. We have a client who has intellectual disabilities who lives in an RCF, so that's what's reflected in the $15,700. And that's it for the ID group. Any questions or comments? The next group would be our folks that have developmental disabilities. This is not a targeted group, according to Senate File 2315. So individuals with developmental disabilities and brain injury are not targeted groups. And
what's the likelihood that will remain with the discussion that are going on? Is there going to be enough outcry that might become something that will be included?
I honestly, Wayne, don't see that changing this next fiscal year. I think it's going to stay. And how it's worded in the legislation is that persons with developmental disabilities and brain injuries could get services funded if there's funding available. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how they've gotten around that.
Still written out. They underline that, actually, if funding is available.
here in Story County, we have historically always funded individuals with developmental disabilities. They're people that maybe have sustained a brain injury prior to the age of 22, or they have some type of a seizure disorder that has affected their ability to function without support. So, again, it's a regurgitation, I guess, of services for transportation, homemaker health aid. supported community living. Some of them are trying to get on Social Security so that they have a more steady source of income, and so legal aid assists them. Medication passes. They can live on their own, but they need help with their medication, and so somebody comes in, you know, once a week or maybe even on a daily basis to help with medication passes. They're involved with supported employment. They need job coaching to help them get a job and keep that job. They're involved with the Enclave. That's primarily paid to mainstream. We've got a couple of people who are getting some Enclave services that have developmental disabilities, and they're able to work and earn a at least minimum wage. Other VOC services would be DAHAB, so they're involved in social and recreational services, volunteering, that kind of thing. And then we have two clients who are living in 24-hour settings. They're not residential care facilities, but they're more apartment kinds of settings in there, and we're paying the daily cost of that because it's not covered under Medicaid. And then the last line item there would be we're serving approximately 50 individuals with developmental disabilities, and on our waiting list, there are two individuals waiting for one's waiting for daily services, the other one's waiting for hourly services. Any questions or comments on that? The next section would be our administrative section involving salaries and FICA, IPERS, the benefits.
This one we changed.
Yes. With taking out part of Nikki's salary.
This already reflected, was it?
Where is she being paid for from?
It'd be direct administration.
4411.
That is the administrative, the personnel costs and benefits. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time just talking about case management. We have historically had it in the mental health budget, and there are several counties, and there was some talk at the state level about moving that program into the general fund or supplemental fund and out of mental health, especially now since we don't have the federal share to pay towards that program. And so we've put together some information, and this would be fiscal year 13 information. And we are averaging revenue through that program at approximately $73,000 a month. And our expenditures are about $61,000 a month. And so there's some revenue that we're generating that we could bring to the general fund. What we're doing right now with it being paid out of MHDD is we have indirect expenses related to case management in our cost report, and we use cost services advisory to do our indirect, figuring out what our indirect costs are. And then those indirect costs have to be paid back to the general fund. And we do that the first 3 months of every fiscal year as we bill and receive the revenue from Medicaid. And so we wouldn't have to do that because everything would be in the general fund or the supplemental fund if we move the case management program over, because we would have to make that separate payment. I mean, it would...
And is that separate payment the county contribution at $89,000?
No. It is not reflected here in the budget.
It's in countywide for us.
It's in countywide for us, and how much is it?
This year it was $112,000.
Okay, so I just help me through this. I want to understand. Let's talk this year. This year we are expecting to spend $763,000 in case management. Right? You're telling me that you're bringing in about $875,000 in case management. A hundred and how much?
12 is what has been brought in this year.
112. So 112 plus 763 is the 875 that you're expecting to bring in, right? And again, I'm trying to understand this. And then we're getting ready to have a conversation about adding a case manager, because in order to bring in that 875, our workloads are so heavy. My concern, I'm one of those that I'm really intrigued about moving this over into the supplemental, I think, is where it could fall, right?
It would be general supplemental.
It
would be general fund expenses.
Moving this over into the general fund, as long as it truly is a net zero, kind of net zero or better, and my concern is, as we look at getting it to a net zero, that we continue to include the $112,000 that's already coming back to the general fund.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay. We have to. Yes. That's part of our cost report. Exactly. Yeah. And then, so my thought is, and correct me if I'm not going down the correct path, but in going back to pulling half of Nikki's salary, you know, into the general fund, well, if the decision is to move case management over into the general fund, then the additional revenue that it's bringing in could help offset, you know, the portion of Nikki's salary. Am I thinking of that correctly, or am I off on that?
You're saying that we will still...
We're bringing in some additional revenues to the general fund to help meet some of the additional personnel costs.
If there are additional revenues, my question is, and it's why I bring up the $112,000, I don't see any additional revenues. Oh, okay, so this year we're planning on, we expect to spend $763,000. Plus we paid $112,000 into the general fund that's not reflected in that $763,000. That's $875,000 total, which is the...
Right.
Okay, right. Well, yeah, maybe I'm missing that. Where is the $112,000 reflected in the $763,000?
It is part of the expenses.
I would think it's built in. I mean, based on the report that I just did now, and I do have copies if you guys want that, but we're averaging about the $61,000 a month in case management costs.
Right.
And revenue is about $72,600.
Right.
So that's a difference of, what, $10,000 or $11,000. And then we... I added that, so into the $112,000, I put that back into revenue, I guess, for case management is the way I'm looking at it right now, because it is revenue that we brought in. So if it was to be moved over to the general fund, in thinking of it that way, I looked at it as revenue.
Well, we get reimbursed for it.
Right.
I mean, we bill.
Sure.
We get reimbursed for it, and then on a monthly basis, we're taking a portion of what we get reimbursed and giving it back to the general fund.
Absolutely. I just want to know where that's reflected in the $763,000. Because if it's not reflected, in the $763,000, then the true cost of case management by the time you make the contribution back to the county is $875,000. And so I go through these line items, and I don't find where the $112,000 is ever reflected in here.
It's not allowed as a separate line item.
Right, and so all I'm trying to get to is I'm trying to get to that zero, and what I'm saying is if we don't recognize the $112,000 that's not reflected in here, and we think, oh, see, we'll bring an additional $112,000 to the general fund by moving it over, we won't, because that's already there.
Right. No,
I did back out... in determining the revenue for case management, I'm pretty sure I backed out that
$612,000. Oh, for the purposes of the report?
To determine the revenue.
Or just awareness, where would you see, where are you thinking you that should be shown? How do you...
Well, no, I'm not... It's already being shown correctly. What I'm saying is our general fund, we have our general fund stretched as far
right,
as we
yeah,
can stretch
right,
it.
Right.
And so wherever you put case management, it should be a net zero, but we got to make sure it stays at that zero. And I am more now talking about the addition of a new case manager position and how we're going to get it to a net zero.
Well, is that based upon the expected revenue that would be generated and because of the number of clients served and so forth? So it's a return of dollars.
You hire a new case manager,
they're going to
take on cases. They're going to be generating by providing services. They're going to be pulling in. We're going to be pulling in more
additional. We're not just reducing the caseload. I mean,
additional.
No,
it would be an additional.
It's additional.
Right.
They would then not have the waiting list.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Those that
yep.
they can't take on any more cases because. Their case managers, their current staff.
So now we have the, okay.
But
yeah,
if you would.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, yep. Yeah, it would be an additional position to bring on additional clients.
Not reducing workload on your current staff.
Right, right. And what we're trying to do in the meantime to address those clients who are hitting the 90-day mark, which is they can't go beyond that, is we're working with a county in our soon-to-be-developed region to take on some of those cases for us so that people, so we're not in a compliance issue with Iowa Medicaid and get those people into services. It's kind of a stopgap measure until we can get through the budgeting process and into the next fiscal year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So your page 62 revenues, case management revenues, reestimated at $770,000 for the current year. Sorry, let you get there before.
What page on your
62?
62.
Okay.
62.
Okay. Okay.
It's on the one I gave you that I...
It was the one that we talked about earlier about the blanks that were there and...
There we go.
Yeah.
So you've got re-estimated revenues there of $770,000 for the current year for case management. We've also brought in $112,000 in the general fund. So total case management revenue at this point is estimated to be almost $900,000.
Okay. So the 112 is coming straight into the general fund. It's not running
Correct.
Through. Okay.
Correct.
That's where I was confused.
Correct. But we've only brought in to the mental health fund $184,000 at this point because you put it all in the general fund at this point, and now you're going to start putting it in the mental health fund.
Yeah.
Is that what
yeah.
you're
yeah.
telling me? So, yeah, case management revenues that go to the general fund, if you want to look at it, is on page 34 of your book. I say that because I'm not positive. I just saw it. Page 34 of your book.
Yep.
Third from the bottom.
Yep.
I should probably reestimate that down because you're saying you're not going to put any more in the general fund at this point in time. You've done it all.
Done. Yep.
So 112
this
year.
So I reestimated to 125, and it should be 112.5.
Okay. But next year we are saying 100. Where's that extra 12?
We should put it in there.
For next year? Okay.
Yeah.
And our indirect cost for next year is it jumps about 14%.
Percent? So you're saying the 112.5
plus 13
will be a little higher by 13% or 14%?
We were at, to get to that 112, it was 20.91%. And then this projected now for 14, or what we just got our statement, it'll be 34.68%.
Did you get a copy of indirect cost?
Yeah.
All right. And does adding a case manager increase those indirect costs?
Probably not, because it's based on space.
Exactly. Yeah.
The CASI report that you guys just accepted a couple weeks ago, the cost analysis that does the DHS reimbursement and these guys' reimbursement.
Okay.
Because they increase their space down there and their square footage. That's how their reimbursement went up. Blah, blah, blah. Now, so no, it does not increase this portion, the case management,
right,
to the general
but,
fund. But, it does by the 14%, but it doesn't increase, by adding another staff member, doesn't change that
okay.
portion.
Yeah. But that's 130 for next year then. Right?
Okay. 28,250.
Well, let's make it 130.
Okay, let's.
And our rate will be adjusted. We go through a cost settlement process.
5 to 130.
We took the 125 to 112. Now shift over to this year, and we're taking the 100 to 130.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. This one's the one I put the wrong place.
So we believe that by shifting this from mental health over to the general fund, it's still a net zero, because now the 770 that we're expecting for this year would come right into the general fund, and we'd pay it back out of the general fund with all of this in there. Lisa, you see it any differently than that? Okay. Adding another case manager is going to generate enough revenue to offset what it costs us to hire another case manager.
That's
we believe. Okay. Why wouldn't we shift this to the general? I mean, it's another $1 million that we're spending out of the general fund, but it's also another $1 million that we're bringing, and I'm rounding, but it's another million that we're bringing into the general fund. And am I right that it helps ease the restrictions on some of what we do here?
It doesn't. It actually gives, by it going into the general fund, it retains the control that the Board of Supervisors have over the program. If it stays in the mental health fund, that becomes part of the regional fund.
Okay. So we'd be looking for that $770,000 to come through the regional board back to...
No, come right into
management.
No, I'm saying if we left it in mental health.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Am I missing something?
No, and when you talk about if we left it in the mental health fund, how it would funnel back through that region before it got back to us. That's, I don't know why we wouldn't move it.
It's a net zero deal. Unless I'm missing something, this doesn't stress our general fund anymore. Does this cause you any concern?
No. Well, that's gold right there.
Well, okay, let me put a disclaimer here.
Devil's advocate.
You're gonna increase your supplemental levy by doing this. Because yes, it's a net zero, but we're gonna have to figure out. I'm gonna have to put some revenue in the supplemental, but we're still probably gonna have to increase that supplemental
just
a little bit to do it.
Why?
Here's what we could do. I mean, here's what I've talked to a couple other counties who did this, and they've set it up. One set it up like in a legacy fund, and I mean, there's some, I'm not sure of all of that's involved there, but what we, what those programs did is towards the end of the fiscal year, at the end of this fiscal year, we withhold billing for the last 3 months, and then bill on July 1st, and we electronically bill, so we get a check in about a week, and then we use those dollars to go into the supplemental fund to create the program.
Well, here's what I'm saying. It's going, if it goes to the general fund, those people, these case managers have been paid out of the general or the supplemental, or the general fund, but their FICA and IPRS are paid out of the supplemental. Because any funds, any general fund dollars, now anybody funded out of the general fund, their benefits are paid out of supplemental fund. Okay? So you don't need to create. If you're moving this to the general fund, it's part of the general fund. That's my theory.
I think they need to create
a separate place for it.
You're going to bring in
revenues from case management, just like you are now, only it's not going to be general or mental health. It's going to be general fund revenue.
But was it,
bring it into the supplemental. But, is that what you're saying?
You can. I'm going to have to figure out how much of that 780, 700...
could be revenue on
whatever,
the supplemental.
Whatever
side.
Expenses are coming out of the supplemental are also going to get deposited back in the supplemental, I hope.
But was it more of just a mechanism for tracking it and how it was being used, because it tended to, that fund tended to set itself apart from the other type of transactions? And I guess one of the reasons that, and I'm probably mixed up a little bit, because if I remember John Grush a couple of times have been talking about some of the ways that they were able to have a designated fund for some of the programs and it was just, it was set up very similar to this particular reason.
Boone and Madison County did it quite some time ago, but they set it up in a way that there's like this ongoing loan.
Right, yeah. And I don't think this is what we're
going to
do.
What I'm saying is
this
is
not what we
want to
do,
but
I think
that's
the concept.
If this is the decision we're going to make and we're going to start July 1st, then July 1st, the first time we pay in July, everything that is related to salaries of you guys, of case management, everything that's related to expenses of case management is going to come out of the general fund. You're going to bill it, and it's going to come back into the general fund.
Right.
The last three months billing that, waiting, I don't get that, because to me, if it's going to get moved, then I'm going to move the expenses and the revenues July 1st.
And the reason why these other counties did the billing, withheld the billing and then waited into July 1st was then to be able to have funds available to pay for the expenses.
I don't get it. Well, I don't know if you can do that, because then you're stealing money out of the mental health fund that was provided under the mental health fund in order to fund something in the general fund. I mean, if we're talking about something as simple as cash flow,
The general fund has the cash flow to do it.
The general fund can cash flow this. What I don't understand, and what I need you to look at a little further, when you said we'd have to increase our supplemental levy, I want to understand. I don't get where we would have to increase the general fund levy if we're equalizing dollars in and dollars out. Well, sure, we got to cash flow it, but I believe we have the capacity to cash flow it.
Okay.
Then at the end of the day, it should all wash out. But would you take a day or so and just look at that and make sure?
I'm gonna have to crunch the numbers again to double check. But yeah,
Or would you work with her and make sure? I want to clear. It makes sense to me. I just want to make sure we're not stepping somewhere we need to not be stepping.
You can always correct it at some point. But
Well, and I can let you know too, Lisa, what counties did that this fiscal year, if you wanted to talk to their auditor's office too.
And that just sounds, maybe it's completely appropriate, that just sounds a little shady to me.
Well, yeah, I don't know why
they services
would. Those services
one
go
fiscal year
fund.
Where it
That's
was in the mental health
from.
Fund, but have that payment come in and not go in the mental health fund.
That just sounds a little.
It just shows you how disjointed this whole operation basically is, and some of the ways the counties have tried to have to navigate through it.
I rescind that comment.
I don't know.
In all fairness, my discussion with Andy Nielsen, way back when, about from the state auditor's office, case management should be a self-supporting program, and if it's not, then there's the problem. And so by moving it out of the mental health fund, it's not under that purview anymore. Obviously, you want it to be a self-supporting program by moving it out of there, but we don't have to be as diligent on the mental in the mental health fund arena.
Well, and again, the control
goes back to
the board of supervisors. Right. It's not, subject to whatever we have to do as a region with the regional funds. I mean, it's Even though the services provided are related to mental health, it can still.
First thing I'd like to request when we move that from where it's at now, from mental health fund to the general fund, is we don't pay the CSN fees anymore, and we don't use that system.
All right, so you guys are going to look at it a little more, and Lisa, we'll just count on you when we come back and look at countywide on Friday that this will be part of a report you'll give us on that.
Still, the revenues will still be 800 and...
Right.
910,000 all told for case management, correct?
Adding the 112, adding the direct cost back.
Direct cost and the case management cost. I want to make sure I move the right stuff.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm asking that you and Carl get together one more and just go through it all and make sure we're not missing something, and then we'll make this decision on Friday. But it makes sense. And so that gets us all the way through it. We need to formally talk about the position.
Yeah.
Alyssa, I'll ask you to.
Going through this, I talked to Aaron quite a bit about it. I talked to Deb a little bit about it. And I don't know, Deb, we have this letter,
mm-hmm.
and it talks about current caseloads.
I wanted to focus on.
There's some stuff getting shoved back on Story County because of the
residents.
Residency.
Is why we're getting more, the caseloads would have to go up, having the waiting list. If you want to elaborate on that, I'm not, I'm just going up based on this, trying to understand everything.
That's a big part of it, plus we just have more referrals for people wanting to access Medicaid services, and case management is a gateway or gatekeeper service in order for people to get on habilitation or ID waiver or children's mental health waiver. They have to have a case manager. And part of what's playing into this is the residency piece that changes July 1st, where we have case management programs who have clients here in Story County wanting to transfer their clients to Story County case management. But the other thing is the state, the legislature last session appropriated dollars to Medicaid to start buying down the waiting lists for ID waiver and for children's mental health waiver. So people are coming off those waiting lists, and then we have to figure out whether or not they're still eligible for those waivers. And if they are, then we have to look at providing case management services so they can get those other services. The other thing it would help with is, as long as somebody is waiting for case management and they've already got a slot, let's say, for the ID waiver, but they need services, the county's paying for those services. And so we need to free up our local county dollars and get them on the Medicaid services, as quickly as possible. We have finished up referring our case management clients who live in other counties. We have finished up referring those to those other counties. We're done with that, with the exception of Polk County. And we've waited on that because, A, they're close, and, B, they have more clients they want to transfer to us than we have to transfer to them. so we're trying to do this in a coordinated fashion. I think they've got about 23 clients to send our way. We have about 13. And so we've just have been sitting on that, and they know that we're working together on it until we have a better idea of how to move things forward. So we know we're going to get 23 clients alone from Polk County. And they are not reflected on our waiting list.
In the waiting list. Wow.
There's half a caseload for somebody.
Before we even get started. Well, again, I just ask you to correct me, Deb. The way I see this is a position that we need. All our numbers show us that we absolutely need this position. It's also a net zero in terms of what it's costing the people of Story County because we're going to get reimbursed for providing this.
Correct, yes.
Only cost you wouldn't be able to recoup would be your startup cost, your advertising.
We have that built into our rate.
Mm-hmm. That built in. Right. So it'd be more or less once you get that person, the salary would be. Because that was my only question, is what would be the cost to the county? And talking to you and Aaron, there wouldn't be any cost
right.
to the county.
Right. We've got it built into our cost report. It would just be, you know, a matter of time over, I mean, getting reimbursed for the services. I mean,
yeah, so there's cash flow
yeah.
as we get going. When are you talking about, when would you like to fill this?
Today.
Yeah. When can you fill it?
I was under the impression until we knew something about the transition funds that we were holding off. And that's why I had solicited some help from another county to help step in and provide the case management services until we have a better idea of what those transition dollars are going to be. Because case management is still in the MHDD budget as of right now. And if we can get to the point of being able to move it and get some transition funds and then move the service to the general fund, we'll be, I think, be in a better position. I have it kind of mapped out in my mind that if we get sufficient transition funds, that we first of all take the folks off our waiting list and get them into services and then start reinstating the services that we cut. And so that, and then if that's all we can do, then this will have to wait until the first of the fiscal year. Mm-hmm.
But you've also factored in, or at least hypothetically, figured we would not get probably what we requested. And so we're going to have some adjustment somewhere. And so would it make a little sense then is to at least not immediately fill this spot, at least until we know what direction the legislature is going. Their discussion is going to give us some indication. But what is the earliest you anticipate we might know as a county if we're going to be eligible to receive anything?
The transition funds?
Right.
I mean, it's one thing to know what we're going to receive and then when we're going to receive it.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
And I know our local legislators are very in tune with needing to address this as soon as possible. I have a commission meeting tomorrow, and we have updated management plans from two counties, and it's cutting and reducing services. So that should further
spurt.
I don't think we're in a position to approve this any sooner than, based on what we know today, any sooner than the start of FY14.
And I agree with that, because I mean, even if the dollars appropriated to the transition fund are upwards of the $20 million, that doesn't guarantee us our $2.5 million ask. You know, best case scenario, if we get what was in scenario one, which was about $750,000, that gets us to zero.
Gets us to zero without reinstating a whole bunch of stuff.
Exactly, exactly. And the state bill's still in the holding pattern.
Gets us to zero paying the state bill.
Paying the state
bill. $700,000 gets us to zero paying the state bills, but not reinstating any services. So every dollar over and above the $700 is where we can start looking at reinstating some state services, some services for the rest of this fiscal year. If we don't even get the $700, then you got a hard conversation about those state bills.
In the interim, legislative committee requested DHS at their meeting last Friday to come back to the table with options about what can be done with these state bills. You know, whether it's to, give counties, you know, extra time to pay them, provide dollars to pay them, forgive them, whatever the options are, this committee needs to know. And I think we'll be discussing that even further at the commission meeting because it's just going to be continued. there's a never-ending in sight with these bills, because as long as providers keep getting their cost reports settled from previous fiscal years, we're going to continue getting bills.
Right.
So it could go on for another 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And I don't think that was the intent of the legislation, but...
No, as I understood it, there was supposed to be a line in the sand that said, yeah, we're not going beyond this, but it seems to be they're ignoring that.
The biggest push that we've engaged with Director Palmer on is that those counties that are under the gun of needing to repay state bills, because of how this whole thing came down, they really seriously need to look at being able to extend, you know, that payment beyond a fiscal year, because, I mean, several of the counties are going to have a negative fund balance, and that is automatically meaning reduction in service. They're going to have to cut out services, and I don't think that's where they really want to see happen.
But even if the DHS, even if the state were to come back and say, yeah, you got 3 years to pay them, it's still reducing services because there's no funding to be able to do it unless you're cutting services to be able to do it. I mean, they've really got counties right now between a rock and a hard place. But what I can't see is until the state gets their act together and is able to say, these are the rules, this is what's happening, and it's something we can believe in, there is absolutely no reason for us to pay state bills because in order to pay state bills, you'd have to cut providing the services to Story County residents that need it the most when you don't really know what the rules are going to be.
I'll pass this table on to you. DHS, with the help of the Legislative Service Agency, came up with showing how far behind a county was in paying state bills prior to July 1st and comparing it to now. And in Story County's case, we were about a month behind, and a lot of it just has to do with getting the bill and getting it through our claim cycle,
right,
to now we're 7 months behind. I mean, so it's a very telling picture as you go through that.
Do other counties look very similar?
They do.
Yes, yeah.
A couple aberrations out there, but for the most part, very similar.
Okay. Well, I'll give you guys my personal opinion. My personal opinion is we need to approve this position. But we need to approve it effective July 1st of 13. And then if something changes, if transition funds are there that allow us to look at doing it this year, then we just need to have that conversation about doing it a little earlier.
But we've got some other things to take. I think with the assistance of this other county, you know, we'll it buys us some time. And then the transition funds, if we do receive them, we have some other things that we can do with that. And
I just want to put a little caveat on what I still want to see the numbers that you guys are going to put together with this position plugged in and really take me through it one more time just so I can get really comfortable that it truly is a net zero kind of thing. Okay? That's where I am. I don't know if you guys feel a whole lot differently.
Yeah, I mean,
you would still need to bring this to us at a board meeting for the actual approval of the position and so forth. I think at some point or another, wouldn't you?
Can't we just approve it as part of our? But if in
next
fact
year,
it ends up
for next year,
year
for next
she
year,
wants it
right?
Year.
If we need
but
to
she
do
wants
it this year,
she's got
to come.
Right. Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we need to discuss today?
Oh, what's up with that?
I think it's too embedded in our lives.
Yeah.
Hey, space for this position and computer and all of that stuff. Where is it?
We got
space. Have the space.
Got the space.
They got
how are we on?
We would need to request the computer, but again, that can be built into our.
We do have a computer, I think, in the office.
Well, we do, but it. Wasn't that the one they took out of Kathy's office?
Yeah, and there were some issues with it, so
we probably would need that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that would get built into the cost report, so we would see that over time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Allowable expenses.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Thank
Anything
you.
Anything else?
Thank you.